This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Danny and Dusty.
All right, my rock smashes your scissors.
No, not these scissors, pal.
What?
This is a special titanium steel alloy developed by NASA for the space program. These scissors that smash interruptus smithereens.
Not this rack. This rock happens to be kryptonite.
With the latest on the Blazers, Ducks, Beavers, and the hottest topics in sports.
Hey, what's happening, Norm?
It's a dog-eat-dog world, Sammy, and I'm wearing milk-bone underwear.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
No!
The Fan.
Out of three here on a Tuesday afternoon on Danny and Dusty, whether listening on 1080 AM, watching along on YouTube.com/1080AM The Fan, or Twitch.tv/1080AM The Fan. We appreciate you. We love you. Thank you for hanging out with us this wonderful, wonderful Tuesday. As you're driving around with the window down like Jeff Russ, thumping the roof of your car and looking at those cherry blossoms on the waterfront or wherever you may be. Thank you. Thank you so much. The Colorado Buffaloes are doing something that, while not unjust. The timing of it is very, 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 very weird, to say the least.
No, it is unjust for one of them.
For sure. For sure. They are retiring Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter's jerseys before they're even drafted.
Yeah, this may be the most egregious jersey retirements of all time. Like, we often criticize the Portland Trailblazers for their number of jerseys that are retired. But they do let time pass. And Colorado is retiring both the number 2 and the number 12 this weekend. April 19th, they are going to retire those two numbers from the football team, which is absolutely bonkers. What it is they are licking the boots of Deion Sanders.
Yeah.
And I don't understand. Like, Travis Hunter, by any measure, is worthy of getting his jersey retired.
He's a Heisman Trophy winner.
Heisman Trophy winner, a two-way player, did something that nobody has done in college football in a very long time. But Rashan Salaam also won a Heisman Trophy for the 1993 season. His jersey was retired in 2017. 2017 is when his jersey was retired. You're looking at a guy who has not even been drafted yet. Mm-hmm. He hasn't even been gone long enough to go through the draft process, and they are retiring his jersey.
Literally still has another meeting.
There's also, like, Shedeur getting his jersey retired is just an eye roll of the highest order, because he went 8-10 in conference play as a quarter, 1-8 in the Pac-12. And look, here's the other thing about these two guys. They were only there for 2 years.
Yeah, it's not like the 3 or 4 year guys.
They were not. He was a one-time all-conference performer.
Mm.
What?
Like, Colorado, while they've been down for quite some time, is not short on a history of very good players.
Well, I came up with, very easily, came up with five players mm-hmm. that could have their jerseys retired before Shedeur Sanders. Travis Hunter, more than worthy.
Look, Heisman Trophy winner.
No-brainer.
That's an immediate, yeah.
Still seems too soon. But don't care. Go ahead, retire it. He won the damn Heisman Trophy. Okay? Eric Bieniemy, two-time All-American, mm-hmm. two-time All-Big Eight, won a national championship. Mm-hmm. No jersey retired. Michael Westbrook, two-time All-American, mm-hmm. College Football Hall of Famer, mm-hmm. no jersey retired. Nate Solder, consensus All-American, mm-hmm. two-time All-Big 12, also first-round pick, mm-hmm. no jersey retired.
Did he do anything in the NFL?
Yeah, he was really damn good.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. Joe Garton, unanimous All-American 1 year, a consensus All-American another year.
Unanimous All-American. How many were those this year? Was there two?
I think there was two.
Two.
Yeah. But also won a national championship mm-hmm. there. No jersey retired. Mm-hmm. Daniel Graham, tight end. Mm-hmm. Consensus All-American. Mackey Award winner. Two-time All-Big 12 performer. Jersey not retired. Okay? Right there, I just gave you five.
Mm-hmm.
That was five. We could keep going because Mason Crosby was a two-time All-American, mm-hmm. three-time All-Conference kicker for them.
And also really good in the NFL.
Chris Naoli, consensus All-American, mm-hmm. three-time All-Conference performer. Not on there. And then you can go like Shedeur, he brought popularity back mm-hmm. and put butts in the seats, but so did Darian Hagan. Right? Who was the quarterback for your national championship team, was an All-American, was a Sporting News National Player of the Year, and was a two-time All-Conference performer. His number's not retired. Mm-hmm. Like, this is where you go, that is absolutely ridiculous, and you're just doing it because he's the head coach's son and you want to make your head coach happy.
Yeah, and because they couldn't retire Travis's without Shedeur's too.
Yes, you can!
I mean yeah, you, I know. You can.
Yes, you can!
But... I definitely feel like this was Dion saying, well, we should do Shedeur too.
I cannot. Yeah.
And somebody in that room went,
okay.
I guess we can do that.
I guess. And if you want to say that they want to, and I went back and forth with Nemec on this on Twitter because he was like, you know, I don't see, I want to do Nemec right by this. He said, the school feels these two players dramatically altered the culture of the football program in a lasting and meaningful way. They had front row seats so they would know. Why does everyone need to have an opinion about that? And so I said, Shedeur is a come on man retirement. Hunter's deserved. And I brought up Rashan Salaam in the fact that they haven't even gone through the draft process. Nemec said, I get it. I just don't think it's that big of a deal. It made headlines. That's what they were going for as the portal opens and official visits windows begins. Colorado is trying to be splashy. These are two very good. It's a brand play. And that is all it is.
Yeah.
But to that, I go, it's sacred to have your jersey retired. And Nemec is 100% right.
It is.
They're just trying to do this to get attention and say, hey, if you're good enough, we'll retire your number too. No, that ain't gonna happen. But if it's a brand play, you are going into kind of the sacred territory,
mm-hmm.
right? Of having your jersey retired is one of the most sacred things that you can have happen.
It's a lot like the Blazers putting so many guys from that title team up in.
You mean the starting five?
Yeah. And look, Mo, Bill, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The other guys, look, I'm not trying to denigrate Bobby Gross and Larry Steele, but it's like, look, it's nice to have them as ambassadors of the team, but the fact that Bobby Gross's number is up there with a slash in it next to Terry Porter,
yeah,
is weird.
Yeah.
It's really weird. Like, are you telling me that Bobby Gross is as important to this team, this history, as Terry Porter or Rasheed Wallace?
No.
No, man.
I won a title, though. Won a title.
But that's just so weird to me to be like, you were on a title team, so therefore that's...
Yeah.
It doesn't make... In a different sense, it's like a branding play.
Yeah. Well, there is... Colorado does have a history of early retiring of guys' numbers.
Apparently of not retiring guys' numbers.
Well, of not retiring guys' numbers. But Byron White played for Colorado back in the 30s mm-hmm. with old Patches O'Houlihan there. He played in 1936 and 1937 and was an All-American running back and quarterback for them. Mm-hmm. Weird.
Both.
He played on the 1937 team. His jersey was retired November 3rd, 1938. So the very next season, his number was retired. Okay. Bobby Anderson.
Before he got drafted a year later.
Bobby Anderson was a running back from 1967 to 69. So the following spring, he was a consensus first-team All-American. Both these guys, All-Americans. And they retired his number at the halftime of the spring game in 1970. So that following spring, similar to what they're doing in this one. Mm-hmm. So it's not completely out of the realm for Colorado's history to do these quick retirements. But again, Rashawn Salaam won the Heisman Trophy in 1994, mm-hmm. and he did not get his jersey retired till 2017.
Again, if you want to do Shadur or Travis Hunter, yeah.
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 Heisman. There's one of those every year.
Go do it. Shadur is a...
How many thousands of players every year?
Shadur is a play to make his dad and the... his dad happy. Well, mainly just his dad happy.
Yeah.
And the head coach, too, I guess.
Both.
Same guy. Yep.
Mildly Bob Mack.
Boy.
All right. We're going to keep it in the college football world. There's some more news as it pertains to the world of the transfer portal and just how weird the whole Nico Tennessee situation is. We'll get that next year on Danny and Dusty, Tenney the Fan.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
College football and the rails of college football are non-existent. And you can see it now as you see an exodus at Cal.
Yeah, Cal lost four running backs of the portal, which opens tomorrow. They mm-hmm. lost four of them today.
Including their absolute stud in Jaden Nott.
Yeah, Jaden Nott, who stuck around last year when the Pac-12 fell apart mm-hmm. and there was a lot of uncertainty. It was Ott's going to be gone. He ends up sticking around, and he's going to now enter the portal. Look.
Did you see his IG post?
Uh-uh.
No loyalty to stagnation.
Hmm. Hey.
Basically, he said, look, man, I gave you the year.
Yep.
I didn't dip. When we made the change, we went over to the ACC, and we dealt with this nonsense. I gave you your shot. And you've done nothing with it. I'm out.
And he ended up sticking around through spring ball, too, because he could have very easily left, you know, when Fernando Mendoza left mm-hmm. for Indiana, right? Their quarterback goes to Indiana. He was like, no, I'm going to stay. We're going to see it through. Obviously, this says a lot about the quarterback situation at Cal right now and where it's at.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not just losing Jaden Nott, Byron Cardwell, former Oregon mm-hmm. Duck, he has now entered the portal again. Justin William Thomas, who is a four-star recruit 3 years ago, he entered the portal. And then Kadarius Callaway, who is a four-star running back with 1 year to play, also leaving the portal via the portal. So you got a barren running back room in Cal right now. And when the writing is on the wall for how they've played, and look, Justin Wilcox, I think, is a really good coach in a very tough spot at Cal because funding isn't great there. Their NIL landscape is not phenomenal. The athletic department is broke to the tune of hundreds of millions of dollars. It's a bad spot, and it's a really tough place to win at.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at Wilcox, since he got there, I saw today, they have had 10 players drafted since he got there. Not one of them is on the offensive side of the football. All 10 are defensive players. And that's where the commitment is. You have a defensive-minded head coach mm-hmm. who is doing a good job of developing defensive guys. They stay in games on the defensive side. Their offense is a mess. And now you're seeing Fernando Mendoza. He left in the winter transfer mm-hmm. portal, goes to Indiana. Now you have four running backs say deuces.
Including a great running back in Jaylen.
Yes, absolutely.
Like you could talk about the portal at the first cycle. He would have been the number one running back overall in the portal then. Like he's one of the best backs in the country. Like I just the fact that you're losing him, that offense is going to be dreadful.
Yeah,
I mean it's gonna be one of the worst in the Power Five conferences.
Well, and look, they also went through some turnover, because Aristotle Thompson, former Jesuit high school running back, Aristotle Thompson in the mid-90s. When you were in high school, Rust, Aristotle Thompson was at Jesuit. And you probably hated him. You probably cursing him from the stands of Beaverton High School.
There's probably some things that you said from the stands that can't be said now.
Well, including a term that we used to reserve for Jesuit.
Yes, indeed. Mm,
which, yeah, probably can't use that one anymore. Mm-mm.
But he ended up, Aristotle Thompson now, I think at Northwestern. Mm. I think he left, so your running backs coach is gone. And now in comes Julian Griffin, a guy that, you know, is new to that room, a new voice in that room, no connection with the players. And they're saying, we don't like the direction that this thing is going. So, boom, four guys gone. And they all leave via the portal. That's tough for Cal right there. That's brutal.
On the flip side of things, as it pertains to potential transfers, Josh Pate had, I guess you could call it breaking news as far as it pertains to the Nico Iamaleva situation in that, we've got the audio. Let's let Pate lay it out here.
A lot of the people who have been pushing for the changes that are happening in this sport, they would call them progress. I would call them just changes. A lot of the stuff they told you didn't have to worry about, a lot of the stuff they told you that wouldn't happen, it's funny how it keeps happening. These are the same people who would tell you players would never opt out of playoff games, you know? If we had more playoff games and less meaningless bowl games, then players won't opt out of playoff games. You know, that same crowd fails to mention that this past December, cats like Nico Iamaleava almost held out of playoff games because they were trying to renegotiate contracts in the middle of a playoff run. He wasn't the only one. He wasn't the only one. But just understand, all these people who cannot take a piss without getting the front of their pants wet, that claim to know what's best for this sport and claim to be visionaries, and boy, they can type a lot of words per minute, can't they? They have not the slightest clue what's best for this sport. And so we've taken the stance on this show for the past several months that we'll just ignore them. I don't really care. I don't care if you label me anti-players' rights. I don't care. I am pro-college football.
Pate's right on a lot of things there mm-hmm. in that what he's saying there, what's right, what's good for college football is there needs to be established guardrails and rules in this, in that it's going to be really hard to get it to happen because mm-hmm. all of it hinges on collective bargaining.
Yeah.
That's how you avoid all of these things that are going on. Okay, but getting colleges to collectively bargain would mean that they would also have to consider the athletes' employees, and that is going to be a very tough thing to do, if not impossible thing to do. But where he is also wrong, though, is that did Nico Iamaleava or Leava, did he hold out during the college football playoff and not play?
No.
He did. He played, right? Yeah, he played in that game. All of those guys that were trying to renegotiate new deals, they all played in the playoff. Mm-hmm. And to a man, every coach that was involved in that playoff will tell you, it was a new world for everyone. Mm-hmm. First of all, it was the first ever 18 playoff that we had, or 10-team playoff that we had, and it was hard to figure out the scheduling of it all, how the brackets were all going to work out, logistically, how everything was going to work out. And then you went to, all right, what's the next phase? Well, NIL guys who are going to want to renegotiate their new deals and say, hey, well, we made the playoff, I want more money. Like that, that was a brave new world too. But none of them ended up holding out. None of them. Mm. They still played. They still went to practice. What was different with Nico was in the spring, he said, I'm not coming unless I get a new deal. He overplayed his hand, and now there's teams backing out left and right from him. Apparently today, Tulane is out on him.
Turns out a conversation with his dad maybe not going well.
A handful of teams are just sitting there going, dude, we can wait this guy. I wait him out till he's to $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
And he wanted $4 million. He's probably going to lose
money.
Multiple millions of dollars in college, not to mention what he's going to lose in the pros.
Because this is going to hurt his draft stock.
The biggest thing is that how is that guy going to walk into a locker room as the quarterback of the team and be a leader and say, hey, I got your guys back.
I'm going to be here for you.
You can lean on me. You can rely on me.
I'm already looking out for myself so much that I remove myself from one of what? Tennessee's got probably one of the what? Top six positions? Top eight positions in college football? When you talk about
NIL space.
NIL space, yeah. Viewership, fan base, yep. Development, relations with the NFL. Like they're a top 10 program in that vein. Yep. And they've been nothing under Heupel but heading up.
Yeah. This year's gonna be an interesting year there because they do have to replace a lot on their offensive line. Mm-hmm. I think four or five on their O line.
And one of the best edge rushers in the country.
You lose, I think they lost two receivers. But the reality is, you recruit at a high level, mm-hmm. you have a very good offensive coach and offensive mind, and he screwed up. But this was something that was kind of in the shadows talked about a lot during the playoff, was teams were fighting with the guys want more money now that you've made the playoff. It didn't happen, though, and nobody sat out. And the guys, they deserve a piece of the pie.
Yes.
There's always going to be players, though. And we talk about this with professional athletes, too. But we've gotten used to it,
mm-hmm.
right? Is that there's always going to be somebody somewhere, and it's not going to be every year, but that just
not enough.
Is a habitual line stepper. Mm-hmm. And they always want more. And those people will get weeded out. But that is kind of where they're at. The NCAA is going to go away. But college football, it needs guardrails. And the only way to do that is if they all break away completely and establish their own set of rules where they are going to have to find a way to collectively bargain with the players so this doesn't happen year after year.
And I will say this, and I love Pate, and I agree with most of what he said there, but my belief is that by Nico cannibalizing himself, the lack of system that he's talking about and the lack of guardrails worked because he acted a fool and he's probably going to pay for it now.
Mm-hmm.
That is. That's what I mean. Like that is the system in itself, the market working.
Yeah.
Like as much as people want to fight back against that, the Jaden Rashada stuff and all that kind of stuff, Jaden Rashada's bounced around and he's been nowhere and he's been nothing because of how self-destructive he has been. All the guys that have done this stuff have found it. They've ended up neck deep in it, and they've been in worse and worse and worse situations. The system, or lack thereof, or lack of guardrails, is working because everybody's looking at it, and they're not conspiring against him. They're looking at what he has done and the disruption that he has been, and they're saying, we don't want that either.
Man, it is crazy to see the takes of Nico's now being blackballed and all this. It's like, no.
No, he did it himself. I should say that. Him and his father did this to him.
Yeah, they have overplayed their hand. Yeah. And that's not getting blackballed.
No, that's called business.
It is. You're trying to leverage somebody, and you're doing bad business, mm-hmm. and now other people aren't going to try to get into business with you. It happens all the time.
That's the market working.
Boy.
It's not pretty, and nobody wants to see it.
No.
But that's the market working.
And he will find a landing spot. He'll have to do probably a prove-it year.
Mm-hmm.
And then the reality is he'll probably leave. He'll leave again.
Yeah.
And you know what? You know who is benefiting the most out of this? The National Football League.
Mm-hmm.
Because in all of this, what is happening is that it's weeding out those guys who, remember that you don't know what a guy's like until he gets money in his pocket when those guys get to the NFL, right? If this was a time where Nico had no avenue to transfer, nowhere to go, no money in his pocket, right? He would have good soldiered along at Tennessee,
mm-hmm.
or wherever he actually wanted to go. But now that it's this reality in this world, or if it was back in the Bagman world where buddy, you don't transfer because we're going to snitch on you. And we know how to take you down, right? In that world, NFL teams had this unknown of the character of the person.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to start seeing teams and guys fall immensely down draft boards because of the fact that
soft skills.
We know how you act when you have money. We know what kind of person you are now. And it's going to hurt Nico way more than I think he or his father anticipated.
All right, coming up next, we're going to flip back to the NBA. The play-in is underway tonight, starting with the Warriors and Grizzlies. Can either of these teams be a threat to whoever they face in the NBA playoffs? We'll get that next year on Danny Dusty. But first, here's the Big Kahuna, the Sports Center update.
You mind if I have some of your tasty beverage to wash this down?
Technically, this game doesn't exist. According to the NBA record book,
so stupid.
Play-in games do not count.
Yeah,
they do actually technically count for games played. However, the box score stats from the game do not count for regular season and or playoffs.
Why?
I have no idea who made that decision.
Be an extension of the regular season.
I think it should go into playoffs because you could have a player who has like maybe a scoring record on the line.
Yeah.
Like they could David Robinson this thing. For those that are wondering, it's because David Robinson went for 72, 71.
Yeah, something like
ended
that.
Ended up getting the scoring title. And have you heard the story about that?
No.
That David Stern made the phone call
Mm-mm.
and had the other team sit guys down in the second half because he didn't want Shaq.
See, let's go back to David Stern.
Look, man.
RIP, man.
Look, RIP the GOAT. He
wasn't afraid of it.
The tanking stuff?
Yeah.
Not happening under his watch.
No.
not a chance in hell. But yeah, the game doesn't exist in the record books. It's very weird.
I don't want to give it playoffs. I think we should just call it a postseason game. It's not a playoff game because I know that Neil Olshey would have gone to the podium and be like, guys, we've made the playoffs every year. It's like, you were the 10 seed and got unceremoniously bounced. That would have happened. And so that's the only reason why. I would not want it to be considered a true playoff game.
Okay.
But it should count as something. And it's crazy to me. I think the Hawks Magic game tonight,
mm-hmm.
I think it's going to be a good game.
I mean,
I think
no one's going to score, and it's going to be ugly basketball, but it should be a good game.
It'll be close.
Yeah.
And then everybody's just going to want to watch Grizzlies and
Warriors.
Golden State. Yeah. Like, that's it. Mm-hmm. Jimmy Butler, how healthy he is after getting a thigh contusion with a big old knee to the thigh.
He took that Kawhi Leonard, like, it, like, split his quad.
Yeah.
Like, it went right smack dab in between.
But if Golden State wins that, I'm not feeling comfortable if I'm Houston heading into that series against Butler, Steph Curry, and Draymond Green.
You want Memphis to win that game.
Yes, you do.
But on the flip side, we just saw this Rockets team play the Warriors, and what Amen Thompson did to Steph Curry, I've never seen a single defender do before.
Yeah. Outside of, Jimmy Patsos when he double-teamed Steph the entire game? That was solid.
I mean, yeah, make literally Shout anybody else beat Patsos. You at Davidson. It works out pretty well. But what Amen Thompson, I think Steph went like 2 of 14 in that game. Something egregious. I mean, I've got Thompson as on first team all defense on my vote. And he is a freak, but.
Wait, you have a vote?
No, it's my fake vote.
Your personal vote.
My personal vote.
Yes.
For those wondering, I don't have a vote, and they rotate around typically.
You told us that you didn't the other day, and so that's I was surprised. No. I was like, wait, you got one?
No,
I find one in the mail.
I have asked to do it next year.
Okay, hey,
Again, I don't know if I'm going to get it right, but I know that I will put the necessary work into it because it matters for a lot of these guys for their mm-hmm. contracts and career accolades and stuff like that. I'll take it seriously. I'm using this year as a trial season, as it were.
Mm-hmm.
See where it ends up. Dame got very mad at me the other night. I don't know if you saw Dame's tweet about Tumani Kamara being first team all defense.
Yeah.
That was in response to me because I had two on my second team.
Oh, that was your tweet that he said?
No, he didn't.
To his first team, my man?
No, that was me and him talking.
What?
Him and I were texting back and forth, and he ended up tweeting that out.
Well, he quote tweeted
somebody
else.
Yeah, no, he quote tweeted somebody else, but we were talking about it before that.
Oh.
That's what kind of spurned that whole discussion.
But
yeah, because the way I'll just say this, my first team, I couldn't not have a member of the best defense in the NBA, the Oklahoma City Thunder, not on my first team. So I put Lou Dort on my first team.
Torture chamber. And
I had it down to Monty or Lou.
Okay.
That was my 5-6 split.
Okay. And
I would say Dame convinced me, but I still have to have somebody from that OKC team on that first team. You can't have a defense that good and not have. I've seen some people that have three Thunder members on their second team, which, yeah. Lou, Jalen, Shea.
Sure.
I can see it, sure. But if you're the Rockets in this scenario, you want to play the Grizzlies. They're in free fall. I mean, there's so many things wrong with them organizationally. We talk about the chances of players shaking free in the offseason. John Morant's on that list.
I'll tell you what, though. This is one of the, if you are against the play-in tournament, mm-hmm. this is the reason why it is here, because you have a team like Memphis that is in a free fall. If they get beat by Golden State, they play the winner of Sacramento and Dallas. They have the opportunity to not be the 8 seed, and if they were the 8 seed, they just get run out of the gym by OKC, right? If they are a team in free fall, where things have changed so much from where they were middle and middle back half of the season, so three-quarter pull of the season, that they're a completely different team right now than they were at that point. They are a team in a downward spiral. Those teams in the playoffs were rough watches, and now you can have the opportunity to have Sacramento or Dallas prove that they belong in the first round of the tournament, and they can get bludgeoned by Oklahoma City themselves, but at least it'll be more competitive.
We'll see what comes out of this. I think the Warriors are going to run away with this, and it's going to make for a very interesting first-round matchup between the Houston Rockets and a good test for that young team. All right, let's wrap up today's show. It's the best day, or one of the best days, in baseball. Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan. All right, as we get out of your day, one of the best days in baseball, everybody dons the same jersey, the number 42, in honor of the late, great Jackie Robinson. Mo Rivera, the last to wear it.
Yeah.
No one else can ever wear it again.
Grandfathered
except for on this day. And look, is there a better player to wear that number last?
No. One of the
classiest, kindest, and as much as I hate him as a Yankee, he was the personification of professionalism.
Yeah, I love Jackie Robinson Day. It's very confusing when you turn on a game and everybody is wearing number 42.
Great number. 42 is a great number.
It's probably the best number in the 40s. Some will say 44, but I will say 42. 48. 48?
Love 48.
Yeah, that looks weird. All numbers in the 40s look weird.
40, 42, 48 are the only 40s numbers that I like.
Except for 44 in a Tom Rathman jersey.
That's what I'm talking about, Tom Rathman.
Mike Allstott, baby, 40.
But Jackie Robinson, in his meaning to the game of baseball, it's incredible. Not just the fact that he, when you think of a player, and I think it was only when you look at WAR, the only person that had a better WAR over his career span was Stan Musial. Pretty impressive.
Yeah, his is insane.
And then Jackie Robinson. He was an incredible player, but everything that he faced over his career, it makes it even more incredible he was able to perform at that level.
Especially when you consider, when you first said WAR, I was thinking World War II.
No. I was talking about
in that too.
Wins above replacement.
Yeah.
But today, if you're wondering why April 15th is tax day, by the way, taxes.
Got mine done in February, baby.
Tax day. If you're wondering why it was today, it is because today in 1947, this date in 1947, he broke the color barrier in Major League Baseball. And the movie 42, really damn good.
Mm-hmm.
Chadwick Boseman.
Chadwick, everything he did was good, but he was incredible in that.
He was outstanding. And the person that Jackie Robinson was, it's hard to believe, was even better than the baseball player that Jackie Robinson was for all that he did off the field as well. So I celebrate Jackie Robinson Day. I love Jackie Robinson. And four-sport athlete.
Yeah, he was mildly good.
Four sports. That's nuts.
Not too shabby.
I think I saw he holds the record for the longest touchdown return in the Rose Bowl facility.
When he played
for Los Angeles Junior College or something.
Wow, look at that.
Yeah.
Jackie Robinson. All right. That does it for us today. We'll be back Wednesday. It's a Wednesday show.
Don't threaten me with a good time.
Sun will be out again tomorrow. Up next, you got 4 hours of power. Their mouths to your ears. It's Primetime with Isaac and Souk. Have a great Tuesday, everybody.
Bye.